This is the day that the Lord has made.
I'd
like to welcome you all here today, Reformation Sunday. We'll be following Divine Service 1 out of Lutheran Service Book, hymn number 794, 656, 635, 879, 556, and 644. The following order of service received on the way beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of the peace and the processional gift. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for the confession. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise and greet one another. Peace be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Series, and I need to remember what it's called when just gotten away from things. And then at the end of that, Martin Luther was like, okay, well, I'm reading, I'm understanding, I want to like put these things into five categories, and these should be the only thing that we include in our faith to make it sure it's pure, okay? I'm going to go through them real quick, okay? One of them is Scripture alone. Scripture is the Bible, right? And we want to only use the Bible as an instruction and information for our faith, all right? So only the Bible, not what other people are saying, not what other people are teaching necessarily, unless what they're teaching is from the Bible, right? Scripture alone, just the Bible, okay? Faith alone, faith is what we believe in, right? We want to cling to our faith and not our own works, right? Not the things we do, but who we believe in, okay? Grace alone. Grace is being forgiven, okay? Even that abundance of forgiveness, even though we don't deserve it, that's mercy, and grace is not really what we deserve. God saves us, rescues us from our sin, and that's the only thing, not other people's actions, not our own righteous works, but through grace. And Christ alone, okay? Christ alone. He's God's Son, died on the cross for our sins. He rose again, and through that process, he saves us. And no one else, not any other gods that are discussed, not any other actions or any other people, just Christ alone, okay? And then glory to God be alone, okay? Alone be the glory to God. We don't take away from ourselves. We don't boast in ourselves. We boast in God, just God. Okay? And so those are the five things that we those in our minds that we can help retain what was taught to us in the Reformation and preserve a true faith. Okay? And so what I have for you guys today is some solo Twizzlers, right? Twizzler number one, right? And you can remember Christ alone, right? Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, and the glory of God alone. Have a good week.
We continue with our sermon hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Let us rise.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This time of year, there's lots of scary things used to decorate. Skeletons and ghosts and witches and spiders. For some, Halloween has become a time of year to try to make your house as scary as possible. But for some, October the 31st is scary for different reasons. October the 31st, the eve of All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Eve, is an important date for Lutherans because it is the day in 1517 when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany, in protest of the sale of indulgences. For many people, what Luther did was pretty scary, and not because he was dressed up as a zombie or something. Luther just wanted folks to know that you're saved by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for you, and not by anything that you buy or do. Jesus died and rose for you and gives you the gift of forgiveness and eternal life in your baptism, in the Word of God, and in Holy Communion. For so many, this good news is terrifying. Many churches are afraid of the gospel. They believe it is dangerous to let people know that they are saved by grace alone and not by what they do. How are you going to motivate people to do what you want them to do? How are you going to coerce people to give money to support the church? How are you going to control people? They'll just go wild. Without the good news of the free gift of forgiveness, you can tell people they will be saved if they give enough money, if they volunteer enough, if they pay the proper respects to the church leaders, if they are good enough. And if you're not good enough or don't do enough or give enough, there are penalties you need to pay in order to make up for your shortfall. They are afraid of the gospel because they fear losing control. Some churches are afraid of the good news that Jesus died and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of your sins, because if Jesus forgives sin, it means there really is sin, and it means Jesus really is Lord. He really is God in flesh. And this is frightening because it means that Jesus has authority. It means that Jesus is in charge and you are not. It means you cannot erase the parts of the Bible that you don't like. It scares people to know that Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him, because that means that religions that deny that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life exclusively are false religions. It's frightening because it means Jesus is God and not just a nice teacher or a wise philosopher that you can ignore if you choose. These churches really want to keep Jesus at arm's length, keep him at a safe distance so he doesn't have any real effect on you. They're afraid of the gospel because they fear losing control. For individuals, the gospel can be quite terrifying. The good news that Jesus paid the price for your sin on the cruel cross of Calvary means God really does take sin seriously. God takes your sin seriously. It means that you really are a sinner and you really need Jesus. The gospel is scary because it means you are not good enough on your own. You are dependent on Jesus. And this is a hard, disturbing news to take in. You need a Savior because you are a sinner, and the wages of sin is death and hell. And as much as you try to pretend that everything's okay, you know the truth about yourself. And Jesus knows the truth about you. Jesus knows all of your sins and failings, even your secret sins. You can at times pretend that you are good enough, that you do enough, that you give enough. Or you might try to rationalize, well, I might not be perfect, but I'm much better than those other people over there. You can pretend and you can rationalize. But God's law breaks through any self-righteousness with hard truth. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. The gospel can be frightening because you fear losing control. But you know the truth. You know trying to be good enough is not working. Trying to do enough is not working. Trying to give enough is not working. In the darkness of your despair over sin and failure, the good news of Jesus' forgiveness breaks through with the light of Christ. Jesus comes for sinners, sinners like you. Jesus comes to be the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As a baptized follower of Jesus, you are marked with the blood of the Lamb. You belong to Christ. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Your sins are forgiven by Jesus. Out of his great love for you, God the Father sent his Son to be the sacrifice, to be the propitiation by his blood. Jesus makes God view you as holy. By drinking the cup of God's wrath to its bitter dregs, Jesus appeases God's anger at your sin and through his cleansing forgiveness changes God's attitude toward you from anger to love. You are saved by grace. You receive what you do not deserve. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. In baptism, Jesus makes you a part of himself. You are a member of Jesus. You are part of the body of Christ. The gospel is pure gift. And this can be daunting for adults. Little children can receive a gift freely without any sense of they need to return a gift in exchange. Adults receiving a gift so often feel an obligation to make things even. But with God, there is no way to make things even. You are forgiven by God out of his love. You cannot pay him back. God's love is out of your control. God's love is messy. God's love and freedom in Christ does not come with a clear set of rules. Freedom in Christ is messy. God's love is messy, but it is a wonderful mess. God loves sinners like you and me. God loves sinners so much, he sent Jesus to pay for sin, and you cannot repay God. Like a helpless child, you just receive God's love. Give up trying to make things even with God and instead just bask in God's love and forgiveness and allow this love and forgiveness to so permeate you and your life that love and forgiveness flow out from you to others. Live in Christ. Live in his forgiveness. Live in his love. Live in his church. In love, do what you have been given to do. God has prepared good works for you to do. If we read Ephesians 8 and 9, but add verse 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has good works for you to do. However, good works do not precede salvation, they follow. Good works do not earn forgiveness. Rather, good works flow out of God's love and forgiveness for you. Works done to earn salvation are not good works, because the motivation is wrong. The good news of God is disturbing to so many because of all the implications of personal helplessness and God's authority. But the good news is not scary. The good news is good news. The good news that Jesus has died for you is the precious medicine of God's love for you. In attempting to begin a discussion about the sale of indulgences, Martin Luther unexpectedly started a reformation. He brought back the gospel, which was being lost as church leaders obscured it in order to better control the people and raise money. Luther renewed the Bible's teachings that you are not in control. God is in control. God is God, and you are not. And even though it frightens many, we delight in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing to fear. You know the pure truth of God. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay the price for your sins and gain for you eternal life. You are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. It is not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen.
Juan's daughter Holly, who has started treatments for cancer, for Edith Minoza, recovering from a minor stroke, and for Pat McClary, who's been hospitalized. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that the comfort of the gospel restored to your church on earth through the work of Martin Luther and other faithful pastors and leaders during the Reformation. We praise you that by your rich grace we have come to the sure knowledge that we stand justified before you, not by what we have done, but rather by faith in what your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, has done on our behalf. We implore you to defend your church from all enemies of your saving word. Cause the eternal gospel to be proclaimed in our time to every nation, tribe, language, and people on earth. And graciously preserve your truth for generations to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, make us truly your disciples. Keep us in your word. Free us from all errors and make our homes and families peaceful. Preserve all fathers and encourage them for their godly task that children be brought up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Be with our catechumens. Teach us also to hear and learn your word and do as disciples with them. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Have mercy on our nation. Give us good and faithful rulers who will govern after your good pleasure. Give us comfort and a right understanding of your rule in this world, that we would not be deceived to think earthly powers will last forever, but have confidence in you alone. Your kingdom come. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers for the sick, the joyful, and those in any need, especially Becky, Jeff's family, Boris, Carmen, Holly, Edith, and Pat. Answer their prayers, preserve them by your promises, and bring them safely through this world to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You have given us the certainty of sins forgiven in your Son, set forth as the propitiation for our sins by his blood, to be received by faith. So lead us to eat and drink your holy body and precious blood in repentance and faith, now and always. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us by your word out of the darkness of error and into the light of your grace. Mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from error and false doctrine, and grant that we do not become ungrateful and despise your word, but receive it with all our heart, conduct our lives according to it, and put our trust in your grace, through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
against you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, and evermore praise you and say, Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Spirit, one God, now and forever.